B'shem Hashem. Welcome everyone. Shus Gemara D'Asra. Rabbi Leifeld. With overwhelming Hakaras HaTov to all of you, our friends, men and ladies, for joining us tonight for this double simcha, the annual dinner of the Gushel of Staten Island, and crowned this time, the first time, with the Sheva Brachas for one of our children, the Shul's children, Yossi and Rachel, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov to the Israel and Gerecht families, and may we taka always celebrate such delicious simchas. Our tremendous Hakaras HaTov to Mendy that pulled not a rabbit out of the hat, but pulled the dinner out of the hat. 2.5 weeks ago, there wasn't enough people to fill a coat room. Really. 2.5 weeks ago, we would have gone into debt from this dinner. And he, Mama, she worked tirelessly. Even today at Kinko's, spending 3 hours in order to make sure that the supplement should be done correctly. So thank you, Mendy. By extension, thank you, Lynn. Whenever we thank a husband, that means that he's been an absentee husband all that time. That's the way it is. When a husband does work for a shul, whether it's in Gabayis, whether it's in Treasury, whether it's in presidency, so the wife doesn't see her husband for all that time. Even when she sees him, he's not really home. His head is preoccupied. So we thank Lynn as well. Without mentioning the people, there have been many, many that have made this dinner possible in every different which way, phone calls, stuffing the envelopes, doing mailings, sitting outside, and in the name of the entire shul, we thank all of you. I made a rabbinical decision which I haven't shared with anybody. Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, the front row has to back up. Either that or we have decapitations at the Aguda. You could come back afterwards. Okay. Now you won't see double. For this dinner, I have a very short message. And I'm going to share it with you now, before introducing our guest speaker. Rav Miller comments on the pasuk ki savayu la'aretz u'nitatem eitz macha. When you come into the land and you plant fruit trees. Rav Miller says, what did they need to plant fruit trees for? The land was planted. They came in. It says they came in. The fridges were full. The Rabbeinu Shalom gave them a table set. So what does it mean? Ki savayu la'aretz u'nitatem eitz macha. So Rav Miller says something with such vision. He says, there were old trees. They had to start planting for the next generation. That's what the Rabbeinu Shalom means. You have for yourself. But what about the next generation? People have to think about what's going to be. We know the famous Gemara that a man was seen planting a carob tree. And they asked him, what are you doing? It takes 70 years to plant that tree. He says, yes, but you know something? When I came, there was a tree ready. So I'm planting it for my children and my grandchildren so that they should have one. Our shul is a shul of the baby boomer generation. Many are retiring, are about to retire. And we, Baruch Hashem, I look at pride at the people in the shul. What are they doing in their golden years? What are they retiring and taking it easy? They're learning Torah. They're coming to Minyanim. It's a gewaltige gezach. But it's not enough. It's not enough. Because we have to think about Netata Meitz Machel. We have to plant for the next generation. It's easy to say. You know, I can take it easy. I have enough things going on outside of the shul. But we need to have vision. They asked Rav Moshe in the Hakdamah to the Dibros Moshe on Bava Kamma, writes, who am I to write Svarim? That's what Rav Moshe writes. Who am I? But he said, if I give a shiur on the Lower East Side, would I have 50 people by the shiur? But when I write a sefer, it goes all over the world for all time. And he demands from us to have vision. I want the women to listen to this even more than the men. Because the women are the spark plugs. They get their husbands to do things. The empty nesters in the shul, looking for things to do. I want to tell you something. Rav Miller drastically changed his life at the age of 70. All of a sudden, Rav Miller used to sleep 8 hours a night, like clockwork. All of a sudden, at 70, he changed. He slept a lot less. They asked him why. He says, because now he's preparing for the next world. He's preparing. We could go to the next world after 120 and say we learned, it's nice, and we davened. Or we could have so much more in our portfolio. We have what's in our hands to do. We have a good aguda. It stands for something unique in the community. Just take the Motzei Shabbos learning program. That Motzei Shabbos learning program could be immediately doubled if we had another floor. Because as soon as it stops, we would start it in the afternoon with just as equal success, if not more. There's so many opportunities. A person of vision to lay the groundwork. I tell you, I have outside of the community now enough connections to form parlor meetings in different communities and raise money. But we need people to get involved, to step up and say, like Nussi and Etty Schreiber stepped up and created a website on their own. Etty, while she's feeding the baby. We need people to step up and say, Rabbi Weiss, I know you have $10,000 in the bank waiting for an architect. I want to get involved. I want to have vision. Maybe there'll be a place, we'll have a place where our youngsters want to clap, like in the Boston Beis Medrash, a clapping center, that they don't have to go all over the place outside of Staten Island. Maybe we'll have a place where there could be some healthy activities for our youth. There's so many things that we could do once we have one other floor. If you try to fit everything into one size fits all, you don't grow. you disappear. I'm asking you, have some vision. Say, I want to be able to say, I planted the seeds for the growth of something that will be here for children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We have Hasidim coming. They're going to need places. They're going to need minyanim. They're not all up the hill. They're going to want other things while we're learning Daf Yomi. They're going to want to make simchas. We need room. We need your involvement. And this brings me to right away segue into introduce. That's my message. And this brings me into segueing into our guest speaker tonight, because he's a man of vision. I'll confess. Eschatoy ani maskir. I should have known about you. I should have known about you. He's all over the world. And what's he doing? I was inspired last night. You know my hours. At around 12:30 in the morning, driving, I listened to one of his shiurim. He comes into a Chanukah Tabayit, and he tells women, do you know what happens if you don't keep Taharat HaMishpacha? It's worse than being with your mother. That's what he said. And he brought proof. He told them about Shabbat. You can't have bracha. And he does this in Dallas. He does this in Miami. In Englewood. In the next few weeks, he's going to be in all those places carrying the message. He's showing vision. He's planting seeds. Each and every one of you could be. When we built the building, our Kala, Yocheved, is the first Simcha in the building. Now she's getting married. When we put the bricks down, that was vision. There was a large contingency. Ashmuel will tell you, said, nah, what do we need an agenda for? We're only 40 people. Look what we accomplished in these years. Finishing Shas 3 times since the building was up. How much learning was done in davening? And today's guest of honor, the Israel family, how much chesed? You know how much more chesed we could do if we had more room? We could absorb the pantry. You know how much more chesed we could do? You know how much more we could do? So I'm asking you, I'm begging you, get involved. Step up to the plate. It is with feeling of awe. It is fitting for our shul to have an ambassador of Torah, an ambassador of Yira. He gave up a rabbanis, Rabbi Mizrahi, in order to be an ambassador at large all over the world to spread Hashem's word, to bring back. I asked him last night, are you into kiruv of the not from, or are you mekarev those that are already from? He says, I do both. I'm mekarev those that don't know, and I'm mechazik those that do know. So listen. Let us receive chizik, be inspired. And Rabbi Mizrahi, Hashem should bless all that you do, that you should help for all of us to be mekarev the gula shleima b'mehar v'yameinu.
Thank you very much, Rabbi, and my wife. And thank you to Mandy Schwartz for inviting me here tonight. It's the first time I'm in this building. After 20 years, I've been speaking. And we don't have that much time. It's a short lecture, so I will speak about 3 or 4 different points with your permission. Since we're gathering here today for the future of this place and the community, I thought maybe we can get some ideas from the holy words of our sages about the merit of people who are mezakei arabim, people who inherit Klal Israel of doing the right thing in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Gemara say in few places, gadol ame'aseh yoter min ha'oseh. Translation, someone who influences others to do the right thing, and there are many, many right things to do, his reward is even higher than a person who actually did it. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a concept? Where else do you find in a world that a broker makes more than the investor? It's not realistic. He puts all the money, all the risk, all the efforts, all the work, and this broker who made 5 minutes phone call or one meeting of 10, 15 minutes, he's gonna make more than the investor who worked 20 years to save this amount of money and jeopardize it? How can it be such a thing? And this is exactly how Judaism works, and 99% of the Jews never paid attention to this treasure that Hashem gave us. I once said to a very poor man, when we spoke about one of the greatest philanthropers in a Jewish world, in Kiruv, in Torah, very famous family who gives tons of money, Baruch Hashem, for the right things. He said to me, if I had his money, I would give even more than him. I say to him, I have news for you, my friend. You, as you are in your 20s, right now can give more than him. He said, why? I can hardly pay my bills. Why can I give more than him? I have to live 1,000 years to have his money. So I said to him, all you have to do is to get those kind of people who do not give to give. And once you convince them to do the right thing, whatever they will give in the next 5, 10 years, when you speak to them, it will all count that you gave more than them. So here you go, you made more tzedakah than them when you don't make a penny. And that wasn't an exaggeration. In Shirat Hayam, after Moshe Rabbeinu sang one of the 10 songs that we had in the creation, 9 of them we had already. One is La'atid Lavo, Shiru La'Hashem Shir Chadash. We sing on Kabbalat Shabbos. This is when Mashiach would come. After Tchiyas HaMeitim, there will be a different times in this world. So that's going to be Shiru La'Hashem Shir Chadash, B'Leshon Zachar. All the other songs were in female language. If you know in Hebrew, you have male and female, like in Spanish, but in English, you don't have it. But in Hebrew, you have different kinds of speaking when you speak about male and female. So it says that after Moshe Rabbeinu finished his beautiful shira that we say every morning in Shachris, his sister Miriam took all the ladies, and she also sang shira. From the entire shira of Miriam, there is only one verse that is mutual to the shira of her brother Moshe. Sus verochbo, Rama Bayam. Only one verse. Anything else is different words. She made up with her prophecy, different shira. But one mutual pasuk there is. Sus verochbo, Rama Bayam. And of course, nothing is coincidence. Why, from all the words her brother Moshe used, she only took one pasuk? The answer is, when Miriam saw Moshe and all the men singing, knowing they just came out of Mitzrayim, they're going to receive the Torah, Mitzvat Aseh Shehazman Grama, the Mechuyav, the Torah is greater than any treasure we can imagine, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, so they have what to sing. They have what to sing for. What are we, the ladies? Give us one reason why we have to sing for. For what? For changing diapers? For cooking food? For what are we going to sing? They have a reason to sing. They got the treasure of Hashem. All the secrets of Hashem is going to be in their hands. They're going to see it. Va'agita bo yomam v'alayla. What are we going to sing for? Then when she saw that Moshe with his prophecy saying, Sus ve'rochbo ama bayam. The famous Kashya. Sus, why did the Sus has to suffer for what the soldier is doing? Soldier is p'chira, he goes and fight, he goes to kill. He either get a reward or punishment, depend what he does. But the Sus is a robot. You move him according to where you desire him to go. So what the Sus has to suffer? The answer is that the secret about this animal called Sus. Why Chazal say, Lama nikra shmo Sus? Shesas lakrav. It's a special animal. When there is a war, is happy to go to fight. Happy. Usually people are afraid of wars. Who wants to volunteer to go to war, risk his life? Even if he believes in a cause, still afraid. If there was a diplomatic way out of it, he'd rather not to risk his children's life, no? At least that's what all the leaders claim. But the Sus, no. He wants the first solution is a war. He likes to go to the war, even though he's going face to face with another warrior. Not only that, David HaMelech say, Al tiye kasus kaperet. Don't be like a horse, like a mule. Why? Why he didn't say there's 2 million different kinds of animals in a creation that we know? Probably more than that. Why from all of them David HaMelech used the example of the Sus? The answer is, when you sit on a horse and you ride on him, you hit the horse. The horse understands from hitting him that he has to run faster. And that's a very, very interesting phenomenon here. Who told you that I want you to run faster? Maybe I want you to stop. What made you understand that by me hitting you with the whip, now I have to run double fast? Maybe I wanted you to stop. The Sus understands when you hit him, he has to run faster. Of course not. The Sus doesn't have bina to understand. The Sus thinking right now, someone is hurting me. I have to run away from the pain. The only way to run away from the pain is to run faster. Someone is after me, to arm me. Doesn't understand, doesn't matter, he's sitting on you. And there's one more thing with the horse. Two things that David HaMelech didn't want us to be, he gave us a perfect example from the horse. When the horse comes to drink, in a lake, he always hit the water with his leg, always going like this. So you thought maybe he's happy, finally he came to the water, maybe he's happy. So you know, the animals, when you give them food or water, they're very happy. They behave like people that when they're very hungry and you put delicious food on the table, they're also excited, especially in this generation. I always say, when you want to know the difference between this generation to the previous one, you don't have to talk a lot. All you have to do is take a picture from a grocery store 30 years ago and take a picture from the supermarkets today, and you understand the differences. That's it. Don't need sichat musar. Come see the supermarket, size of a football field, 25 aisles, 1 year doctorate to learn where each item is you need. With exams, maybe next time you forget, it keeps moving it around to fool you that you have to look for it, and maybe you find other items. When I was a kid, you went to the grocery store, the size of a tiny room. 5, 6 items, that's it. Necessary things to survive, nothing else. So the horse is thinking someone is stealing my parnasa, someone is stealing my water, because he see another horse on the water. Two horses are fighting for the water. He doesn't understand it himself. So he hit the other horse to make him go away. So David HaMelech wanted us to learn two things. My friend, two things. When Hashem is punching you to wake up, to do tshuva, you cannot run away from him. Use a different strategy. The faster you run, the worse the situation will get, not better. Stay and handle it the way the Torah says to handle it. And the number two is nobody can touch anything that is yours. Very important concept. So we're going back to Miriam. So Miriam says, after she saw that the foundation of the soldier is sitting on a horse, and Hashem punished the soldier for being the basis, the base of the warrior, even though it's only the base, but without him the soldier cannot do anything. So both of them, the Egyptian and the horse, both of them drown. So Miriam did kal vachomer. Miriam say, if in a negative way, when the supporter of the soldier is getting the same judgment from Hashem for being only a supporter, it's needless to say when the supporter for positive cause, it's needless to say that he's going to get the same reward like the actual learner. So when the man is learning Torah, they cannot do it without us, the ladies. So we are the supporters. We sit home and we do all the errands and everything around. We get just as much. Now it's time to sing. That's what she took out of Moshe's words. Suz v'rochbo, this is the secret of this Shira. Now we have a reason to sing. You have a beautiful building. Baruch Hashem, bli ayin hara, pretty big. And I've been in many hundreds of places. Rabbi explained to me yesterday that sometimes there is cases that you could have done certain things when it comes to Torah learning or mitzvot or all kinds of events. And there's a limitation. And one person cannot change the world. One person cannot change the community. Person needs supporters. Person needs people to push and to help and to volunteer, and not only money. Money is not always the solution. You can have money and don't have the right people, and you're not going to be able to do it. You can have the right people and don't have money. What is it going to give you? I built my organization from nothing. Everything I've done, reaching more than 120 countries, was done by volunteers. I never paid a salary. Everyone that I helped to make them Balei Tshuva, I always spoke in my lecture about the importance of supporting and helping and making others make Tshuva. And one out of 1,000 agreed that this is the right thing to do. That's all, 1 out of 1,000. But it adds up, it's many, many numbers. So it sent another one, and everyone with his specialty. This one helped with computer, this one helped with graphic, this one helped with CDs, this one helped with recording things. Everyone with his specialty. Ordinary people with their monies for the CDs, and we somehow arrived to places that I never dreamed that we can get there. And the people who made tshuva, in a million years, you won't believe that these people are capable of keeping one mitzvah. I remember one time I went to a place, we had a Baal Korah in a yeshiva in Monsi. He told me, I sold the car to one Israeli guy, and he lives with another six. And I started to speak to them a few words of Torah. They're all chilonim, they're all secular. I don't know really exactly how to argue with them. I need to take you with me. They're not far from Monsi. You ready? I said, okay, let's go in the afternoon. We went there. I looked at them. Some of them came back from India. They had hair, the way they dress. I say to myself, look how the Jewish nation, you look at them today, sometimes you don't know who's a Jew and who's not a Jew. Very sad. One guy over there looks more normal than the other. Short hair, his clothes look a little bit more normal than the others. So when I sat with the group, he was the only one who was sitting in the kitchen, not joining the living room to the conversation. So I said to him, what's your name? He told me his name. So I said to him, come, join us. I came, if I'm already here, what do you have to lose? So the person who brought me there is whispering to my ear, don't waste time on him. That's a done deal, this guy. Al tbazbez alav tazman. I try to speak to him, he's not interested, he's blocked. But I say to myself, I'm already there. Let me come. No. I know all of that. Apparently, it's what the Gemara say. Shana upiresh kasher mikulam. He used to be religious when he was a kid or a teenager. He left the religion. He's not interested to hear anything. For them, it's something new. They never heard of it. But for him, he's sitting on the side. And I spoke to them for a few hours, and Baruch Hashem, almost all of them made tshuva. And three of them I brought to the yeshiva a few days later. And this is the only person who did not participate in the conversation. So I felt to myself, you know, if I put you in a room full of diamonds, it's a tiny room, shelves loaded with expensive diamonds, and I say, you have 1 minute, collect as much as you can. You're not allowed bags, you only have your clothes, your jacket, your pants, your shoes, your yarmulke. That's what you have. Now grab as much as you can, 60 seconds, go. So now you run quickly. You want to secure the future of your children, your grandchildren, grand-grandchildren, the friends, the neighbors, the rabbis. You have already a long list of people you want to benefit. So you collect a lot. Another 10, another 20. You push in your pockets, they're full. In the pants, they're full. You stuff some in your shoes. You put under your yarmulke. You collect as much as you can. 60 seconds, the ring is very loud, 60 seconds expire. Now you come out, you see only collected 10% of the diamond in a room. Do you feel happy or upset? You collected, they gave you 60 seconds, you didn't have enough pockets, and you didn't have enough time. So after all of that, you left 90% of the diamonds inside. Do you feel happy? You look at the 10% you collected, or you look at the 90% with a little bit more time you can collect all of them? In my opinion, most people would feel very, very upset on the 90%. But let's say we're not that greedy. So we're happy and upset at the same time. Mixed feelings. This is when you deal with Kiruv. You come to speak to 50 people. 10, 20, eventually starting to change. This guy agreed to put tefillin. This guy said, from now on, he's going to eat kosher. Two say they're going to keep Shabbos. The girl say, okay, from now on, I'm going to be more modest. Even one woman say, okay, you know what? I'm going to start light candles for Shabbos. It's already a beginning of something. But then you eat your heart for the rest of the people. So who knows what's going to be their end, these people? Who knows? Never going to see them again. That's how I left that house. But a month later, I went to Haredim, to Mincha. I almost got a heart attack from happiness. I see the guy was sitting in a kitchen, holding Sidur like this, praying Mincha with all the Hasidim. He said to me 10 times, don't waste time on him. Don't waste time on him, Zemikra Avud, lost case. It was the first one who did Lid Shabbat. You know what a big Ravi is today in the old city? He writes all the books of all the brachot. Perhaps you saw some of them with beautiful pictures. He'll get the askamot of all Gdolei Ador. After a few years, he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. So he called me. We had a shul in Muncie in those days. He said, I want to donate my books to the shul, and then I'll buy them all in Eretz Yisrael. I can't carry all of them. So I went to pick up the boxes of his books. And when I started to open his gemarot, I saw the chidushim he wrote on the side. Mamash like a Rosh Yeshiva, I became. He had girsa de ankuta. All he had to do is to clean the dust and brought him back to life, Baruch Hashem. One thing we do know, when Cain killed Hevel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Kol dmei achicha tzoakim elai min ha'adama. The question is, why dmei and not dam should be the dam, the blood of your brother screaming to me from the ground? Dmei means bloods, in plural. The answer is, it's not only him, it's half of the world. If Hevel created 7 billion people today, if the pyramid starts with two, right away you double the amount. So Hashem said to him, it's not only your brother, it's all the people who's supposed to come out of him are screaming to me right now from what you did. Same thing of what I said before. If leporanut, it's like this, if in a negative way, Hashem holds him responsible for everything who comes out of his crime, imagine when it's for the positive things, that a person is dead and you revived him, and everything that came out of him, the Torah, or the place that you set up, or the building, or the expansion of the building, or building another floor, whatever the case is, whatever the community needs, whatever the Rav thing the community needs, and you participate in that, it's binyan aday ad. Person can be in Gan Eden 40, 50 years and cash on that every Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara say, Rosh Hashanah, Sifrei Chaim ve-metim niftachim. Sifrei Chaim, no, it's obvious. Everyone is standing to a trial. But why Sifrei Metim? The dead people already had the trial, whether it was 10 or 40 or 50 or 100 years ago. Why every year to reopen the trial? What kind of trial is that? The answer is din v'cheshbon. Now it's calculation. We have to calculate what happened in the last year from your investment. What happened in the world from what you left here? It's amazing. We are talking about something that most people don't think. Gadola me'aseh yoter min ha'aseh, for good and for bad. But we are, Baruch Hashem, focusing on the good, not on the bad. Be'ezrat Hashem, we have to understand one thing. Torah, when a person learns Torah, when a person supports Torah, there's one thing: the Satan will never rest in peace. Never. The more important the mitzvah is, the more efforts the Satan will put to destroy it. If it's a tiny mitzvah, no, there is resistance. Most people will do it, they're not going to make a big deal out of it. Why? It's 1 minute, it's over. Finish, it's easy. If you say a few words and it's over. I read two Prakim Tehillim, no? Why? I want those three boys to come out of prison, whatever they are, by the monsters over there. So if I have to say two, three Prakim of Tehillim, fine. But what happens if they tell you, no, you have to give $1 million to get them out? Some people would agree. Some people won't agree. Even if they have $100 million cash, they won't agree. But some people that hardly have, they'll give everything they have to get them out. But the pain will be tremendous. Somebody asked the Chazon Ish about tzedakah. He said it has to hurt. Tzarich sheikav. When a person does something, it has to hurt. If it goes too easy, that means the Satan did not put resistance enough. If he didn't put enough resistance, that means you can have done a lot more. And Hashem holds you liable for a lot more. One time, when Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was in his 20s, newlywed, him and his wife, he walked to the yeshiva, and he passed through the town, and he had to come to the yeshiva. And it was a very cold day, heavy snow or heavy rain, and he saw that he won't make it by Shabbos. I mean, by tonight, it's a heavy storm, and he cannot walk with his wife in such condition. So he said, we have to find a place to sleep overnight, and then we continue to walk tomorrow. So he saw a nice house with a big mezuzah. He said, okay, that's Baruch Hashem, a nice house. I'm sure this person has a room for guests. Let's knock on the door and ask for chesed. So they knock on the door. And the Gvir opened the door, and the Gvir say, yes, can I help you? He say, yes, my name is Yaakov, this is my wife, we just got married, we're going to the yeshiva, and look at the weather. I'm sorry we surprised you like that, we don't have that much of a choice. Would you give us a room just for the night? We leave early in the morning. So the Gvir told him, I'm very sorry, I cannot let you in my house. So he said to him, I don't want anything. Don't have to give me food, nothing. Just a place to sleep, anywhere you want. He doesn't have to be ready. He doesn't have, just, you know, it's a life risk. Pikuach nefesh. The Gvir said, I understand everything you say. I cannot help you. So after 15 minutes, he's begging him. cannot believe. How can it be? A heart of a Jew like this doesn't let him in. So he said to him, okay, and I see that you have like a shed over there, like a cover. Maybe you don't mind we stand in the side of your house, my wife and me, all night, that at least we're protected from the rain, from the snow. So he's thinking the gvir. He said, okay, but please don't move from there. You stay there all night, and in the morning you leave. He said, fine. And that's what happened. In the morning he left, and he arrived to the yeshiva just before Shabbos. The next day, Shabbos morning, he sits by the shul, and he sees the gabbai is calling this gvir for shlishi. The rabbi is sitting there, and they're calling this gvir aliyat shlishi. I don't have to tell you what he felt. What's going on in this world? Ah, the Chazal say it's already alma de shikra. There's a gvul to how much shikra you can handle. How much lies? He couldn't stand it. He went to the gabbai and said, excuse me, mechila. This is what happened to me yesterday, and I don't understand. How can it be such thing? So he told him, relax, relax. I'll explain to you everything after the davening. After the davening, he came back to him and said, let me explain to you. You see this person? You probably feel he's a horrible person, doesn't have a heart. He is the Machnis Orchim number one in the history of this area. Every guest who came to this area automatically went to him to sleep by him for many, many years. But few days before you arrived, one guest stole all his silver and all his cash in the middle of the night and ran away. So from his anger and frustration, he made a neder. No guests are coming in my house anymore if they can be so ungrateful. I don't want guests in my house. And you've been misfortunate. You just arrived a few days after. That's it. Now, why did I tell you now this story? What's the connection between this story to the event that we gathered here tonight? The answer is, what happened, Chas v'Shalom, if Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who later became one of Gdolei Israel of all time, and a sign, a semel of honesty and integrity, and midos, and Torah, and everything he can think of. What would happen, Chas v'Shalom, if he would freeze to death? The thief that stole the $10,000 silver, or $5,000, whatever it was, the cash, from the house of the Gvir, he think in his mind, what avera did I do? I stole $5,000. It's obviously kfui tova. It's against sakara satov. It's a big sin, but it's not a death penalty. It's not isur karet. It's not mot yumat. What's the punishment? I have to pay double. Here you go. I write now a check. Now Baruch Hashem, I became a gvir myself. I write a check to the yeshiva, $20,000, to the mitzvah of the gvir that I stole the money from him, or he sent him a check anonymously, one way or the other, and here he go. V'yeshiva takzela. But he would never imagine that tens of thousands of talmidim and billions of mitzvot of learning Torah are gone from the world for what he did. That part he never came to his mind. Do you understand what's happening here? The person thinks, what did I do? Same thing building a building. Same thing sponsoring Torah. We've been going back and forth, a big Talmid Chacham in Yerushalayim and myself. What is bigger in this generation? Kiruv or supporting Amalei Torah? The Pshat HaPashut, everybody knows, Limud Torah keneged kulam, if they're poor, if they're Amalei Torah, it's a very high level, everybody knows that. But I came and asked, I said to him, but overall, if you take a person that is secular and lives like a goy, and you make him a full Baal Tshuva, one of the things that a Baal Tshuva does, he begins to learn Torah every day, and sometimes all day, all his life. And then one day he becomes a Rosh Yeshiva, and I have already a few of them, Baruch Hashem, that I picked from the street, and they're big Talmidei Chachamim, writing many books, very big Talmidei Chachamim, they have kolelim, So it's a chain reaction. You save one neshama, after 100 years it become 1,000 Torah scholars. When at the same time when you support Torah, whatever you give this man, they learn and it's over. After that I have to give again, and after that I have to give again. And it's like, as long as you give, you're buying zchut in the Torah. But here, it's like a multi-level marketing. You start the pyramid, and one day you make overized residual income from thousands of people. Who do you think is right? My point of view, or the regular approach that limud Torah keneged kulam, don't argue. So I sent a friend of mine to Rav Chaim Kanievsky to ask him what's more urgent right now. And he told him, Atzalat Nefashot, save these lost Jews. But the Talmid Chacham that I'm debating with disagree. So we're going back and forth, arguing. What's the final answer to this question? I think what I think, he thinks what he thinks, Rav Chaim says what he thinks, you know, it's not what, the only things in life that he has machlokot about it. But one thing we do know, no one asked and no one questioned the fact that anything you did, like the Rav say, have to have a vision. It's not something for today or tomorrow morning. It's something for eternity. It's eternity. This is what people don't understand sometimes. You put your money in a place, that's it. It's wired to your Olam Haba. No one can already cancel the wire. In one of the fundraising dinners of one famous organization, they invited all the gvirim, and one gvir lost all his money, so they didn't know if to invite him or not. So they asked the rabbi, what should we do? The rabbi said, if we invite him and he sits there when he cannot give anything, we'll embarrass him. If we don't invite him, he'll be embarrassed. They say, oh, when I had money, they called me. Now when I don't have money, they forgot me. Since it's a very big dilemma, Sheve al ta'ase adif, if he calls and asks questions about the dinner, we'll invite him. If he doesn't mention anything, we pretend we forgot. What can we do? We don't know. Maybe he'll get embarrassed to sit there and not to give. But the gvir called. And he said, I did not get my annual invitation. He said, oh, sir, no problem. It's on the mail. Tomorrow he'll have it. And he showed up. And he looks at the plan of the dinner and he sees his name is not there. Every year he gave a speech. Everyone speaks 5 minutes. So he came to the organizer, he said, what's going on? How come I'm not in the list this year? Hey, Mr. X, you know, we heard what happened to your businesses. We don't want to put you on the spot. We don't want to humiliate you, you know. We didn't know what to do, really. So he said to the rabbi, Rabbi, not only I want to speak, I want to be the first one that speaks. The rabbi doesn't know where to hide. What's going to be now? So, okay. You want to speak, you speak. Kol man David Rachman al HaTavarit. Something good has to come out of it. So he got up on a stage and this is what he said. He said, last year I was here and everyone made a pledge that whatever they did, they did. And I was one of them. If you all remember, I donated such and such. This year, I couldn't even pay for my dinner, for my plate. That's how broke I am. I basically got wiped out. No cash left, nothing. No real estate, no cash. I don't have a penny. I owe money. I'm in a negative balance now. A year ago, I was a multimillionaire. Today, with what happened, I'm in a negative balance. So what am I doing here? Obviously, I cannot benefit the yeshiva anymore. The organization, it was an organization. So he said, I want to come to tell all of you not to make my mistake. Last year when I gave that check, I could have added at least 2-3 more zero to the check and I wouldn't even remember the next day the amount that came out of the account. That's how loaded I was. Now when I want to give, I cannot give anything. Give as long as you have. You don't know, maybe next year, God forbid, you'll be in my situation. But what I already gave, I'm eating my heart. Why I did not give a lot more? It went to the garbage. Could have gone for eternity of Torah and Avodat Hashem. And what happened? It went to the garbage. So before your money also go to the garbage, or before you leave the money and go to Olam Haba, and you cannot do anything with that, he said to them, I came to encourage all of you to do the right thing. They collected 10 times more. True story, it happened. Happened here in America. They collected 10 times more money after his 5-minute speech. And the rabbi said, I had a dilemma if to let him speak or not. Why? They got the point. They got the point. Since time ran out, or running out, we'll finish with one or two last, two more things, and we'll finish with that. In the book of Micha, chapter 6, verse 3, this is what he says, the Navi. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ami, my nation, Ma asiti lecha? What have I done to you? Uma el eticha? What did I make you do? Uma el eticha? Ve'anabi, they will answer to me, Eleticha come from efforts. What efforts am I asking from you, Hashem says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you see that I did not bother you. I didn't ask you to say Shema and to stand. You see it fine. You sit on your donkey, fine. Uvlechtecha v'aderech. Everywhere you are, I didn't ask you too much. I didn't tell you, ולא פורעים ראשיכם, אלא בשבתך בביתך, when you sit at home and you relax. And then it says like this, רב עמרם גאון says, הקדוש ברוך הוא משתבח שאינו בא בתרחות. השם say, what am I saying to you to do? What am I asking? לא בשמיים, like the Torah say. ולא מעבר לים. It's no big deal. What's the big deal? You're making it much more, much bigger deal than what it is. One time I had a guy that started to become Baal Tshuva, and I said to him, what about davening in Minyan every morning? He said, no, I can't, I can't. I'm going to sleep very late. I cannot be in shul 7 a.m. I can't. I said to him, if you really want, you can. No, I can't. Believe me, I can. Later on, I pray at home, I put filling. Better than nothing. One day I came to him and I said, I found you a sponsor. He didn't have a job. So I said to him, I found you a sponsor. Every day you come to shul, you will get $1,000 cash from me at the door. So he looks at me. He says, what, are you making a fool out of me? So no. What, did I look to you like a liar? I told you, every day you show up, I'm waiting for you by the door with $1,000 cash. Every day? He was thinking maybe you'll make $1,000 for 2 weeks. I said, yeah, you show up in the shul, you have to be before 7. 1 minute before 7. 1 minute after 7, no money. You have to be before 7 ready to daven. So of course, deal? You're not joking. I said, no joking. Let's check in on it. It's kiyat kaf. It's like a contract in Shamayim. Shake my hand, I say. He said, it's God. Remember. I say, here, look, people here. They're all listening. Shake my hand. He ran to me to shake my hand. I pulled my hand. I say, see, what a hypocrite. He looks at me and says, what? I said to you, don't make a joke out of me. I said, no, I'm not making a joke out of you. You make a joke out of Hashem. You just told me 10 minutes, I can't. You killed me, I can't. Soon as I mention money, not only you can, you'll be at 5 o'clock and you put 5 alarms. It's not that you can't, you don't want. And why you don't want? Because you don't believe in it. If you believe in it, you would ask for money. When you know the Torah promised eternity for every tiny mitzvah, there's no end to the reward of the mitzvot. Yafa sha'acha shel korat ruach ba'olam haba mikol chaye ha'olam hazeh. all the reward that people ever got in this world combined of all the people will not be equal to 1 hour reward of a tzaddik in the afterlife. Of everything that you can imagine combined. And this is the zchut that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us. So Hashem said, it's really not hard. You're making it harder than what it is. And the last thing for today, we have to know one thing. One of the trick of the Yetzer Hara is the Ramchal says Mesilat Yesharim, Perek Bet, Chapter 2. Echad mitachbulot haYetzer Hara. One of the tricks that the Yetzer Hara is using to make a person lachbid avodato b'tmidut alibot bnei adam, to make the avodat Hashem heavy, hard for the hearts of the people, עד שלא משאיר להם רווח להתבונן ולהסתכל באיזה דרך הם הולכים. Person is so busy with his world, with business, with people, with his employees, with his boss, with everything around him, that is so busy that once he's so busy, he doesn't have time to check carefully his life. כי יודע הוא, because this Yetzer Hara, this evil inclination knows, שאילולא היו שמים ליבם כמעט קט על דרכם. If a person would have a time out and pay attention to what he does, ודאי שהיו מתחילים, what? להינחם ממעשיהם. They would right away start to regret what they do wrong. והייתה חרטה הולכת ומתגברת, עד שהיו עוזבים החטא לגמרי, and every day their repentance would grow higher and higher until they leave their sins completely. רב שלום שבדרון, זכר צדיק לברכה, said a story. One person walked and he heard a crying from one of the windows. And he thought, what's going on over there? The crying doesn't stop. You knock on the door, nobody opens. Hello, hello, anyone here? So he was thinking to himself, what if they forgot the baby? People forget babies in a car. It could be an emergency. I have to break in. I have to break in. He's thinking to break in, not to break in. So I'm not taking a risk. It could be pikuach nefesh. He broke in. He came inside. Hello, anyone here? Anyone here? He listens to the crying. He comes to the room and he sees a talis. The talis is crying. It's a mashal. So he comes to the talis, he says, why are you crying? He says, the owner and his wife and all their children went to vacation for the summer. They took everything and they left me here. Everything. They took balls, they took backgammon, they took all kinds of games, they took tons of food, meat, frozen, beds, mattresses. The only thing they left is me. How can I not cry? So the rabbi there said to the talis, don't worry. They took everything, but they will return back everything soon. But you, when they take you, it will be for eternity. That's when a person goes to the grave, lo aleinu, they cover him with the talis. Said to the talis, don't worry. When they take you, it won't be for a few days. It will be forever. Just before, Chazal said, this world is כערף עין, blink of the eye. Here and it's over. That's it. Before חס ושלום, this blink, the eyes are open up and it's over. Let's do the right thing. And I don't know, I really don't know exactly what needs to be done. Rabbi, I'm sure he knows, and I'm sure you gather here for a purpose. Whatever that purpose is, one thing I do know. Nobody ever lost from tzedakah, nobody ever lost for volunteering, for chesed, for helping, for giving advice, for giving from his time and helping, especially when it's Zikui Arabim, big community, Talmidei Chachamim, more Torah, more Yirat Shamayim, more Smachot. This building, Be'ezrat Hashem, should have unlimited amount of Smachot. Thank you very much. Kol Tov.